VOA News is always at the tip of your finger.
All the news you want about Africa and the world, day and night, is available on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
Make it your first source of news and information.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up for Caster Semenya, South Africa's world and Olympic champion 800 meters runner. Caster will compete at the rarely contested 600 meter distance on Sunday in Berlin, Germany. Organizers of the IAAF World Challenge Series meet say Semenya made a special request to put the women's 600 meters race on the program rather than the standard 800 meters. Meet director Martin Sieber says even though the 600 meters wasn't originally on the schedule, he's delighted to grant Caster Semenya's wish and offer the fans at Berlin's Olympic Stadium a spectacular race. Earlier this month, the 26-year-old Semenya won a gold medal at 800 meters and a bronze medal at 1,500 meters at the World Championships in London. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2017, reporter Samson Omale looks back on Semenya's triumph at 800 meters.
In the 800 meters event, Caster Semenya won her third world title using her finishing trick to sweep past Niyonsaba, Burundi. Semenya won with a season-leading 1 minute 55.16 seconds.
Of course, this is a perfect ending. You know, we had a bronze in Tau 5, gold in 800 meters. Obviously, we're the best in the two lap. So we're quite thrilled with the performance. We're happy with the PB. It's a national record. It's amazing, you know. It's all about hard work and dedication.
Speaking shortly after picking up her silver medal in the 800 meters event, Francine Niyonsaba of Burundi said she was excited at the opportunity to have a podium finish at the World Championships.
This medal, I think, it is a key for the Burundian. All Burundians are very happy. I knew all Burundians were watching me, so I'm so excited.
Francine Niyonsaba finished runner-up to Caster Semenya in the women's 800 meters race at this year's World Championships in London, as well as last year's Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. And the two African athletes will race each other again on Sunday in Berlin. The 24-year-old Burundian Niyonsaba will participate in that special 600 meters race. Now, because 600 meters is a distance rarely run at international meets, the IAAF considers leading times as world bests rather than world records. The women's world best for 600 meters was set 20 years ago by the Cuban Ana Fidelia Quirat, who clocked 1 minute and 22.63 seconds. Meanwhile, organizers say Caster Semenya is one of 8 newly crowned world champions who will compete at the Berlin meet. One of the surprise winners in London, 200 meters world champion Ramil Guliyev of Turkey, will race the 100 meters in Berlin. In another sunny side of sports highlight for 2017, let's look back on Guliyev's 200 meters victory in the British capital, beginning with his reaction.
I look in the screen and then I see in first name, Mai.
I say it's, yes, my dream, it's happiness.
A dream come true for Turkish athlete Ramil Guliyev, who pulled off perhaps the biggest upset at the World Championships in London. The 27-year-old Guliyev lunged at the line to edge South Africa's Wade van Niekerk and Trinidad and Tobago's Jareem Richards in the men's 200 meters final. Guliyev clocked 20.09 seconds, while van Niekerk and Richards had the same time of 20.11 seconds. Guliyev got the gold medal, van Niekerk the silver, and Richards the bronze. Now, before the race, Guliyev was a little-known sprinter who transferred his nationality from Azerbaijan to Turkey 6 years ago. Now, I'm guessing track and field fans might be a little more familiar with the tattoos on both of Guliyev's arms. And he used those arms to carry the flags of both Turkey and Azerbaijan on a victory lap at the Olympic Stadium in London.
Yeah. It's a great life in my sport career. And next is my Olympic Games, I hope so. I make again. And I make so many training for Olympic Games. And then last year, I come, it's bad. And I hope so we can make it next.
That's Ramil Guliyev of Turkey, the surprise winner in the men's 200 meters final. Wade van Niekerk was hoping to be the first man to get the 200-meter, 400-meter double gold at the World Championships since American Michael Johnson in 1995. But the South African star came up just short after winning the 400 meters gold. Van Niekerk cried during a television interview after winning his 200 meters silver medal.
It's definitely not something that I pictured myself or a situation I pictured myself being in, but it was six long days, six hard days for myself. And I think as I did the victory lap, it really just hit me what I've achieved and what I've done. And it did make me a bit emotional.
Wade van Niekerk talks about six long days, six hard days. He says competing in both the 200 meters and 400 meters was more difficult than he originally thought.
Yeah, it was beyond anything I ever imagined. It was really not as easy as I thought it would be, or not really as easy as I thought it would be, but it wasn't easy at all. I knew I had to work very hard each and every round and try and save as much whenever I can, but the competitors I competed against was world class every single round, so it made life a bit more tougher than I thought it would be.
Wade van Niekerk is the reigning Olympic champion and world record holder at the 400 meters distance. Wade says he won't do the 200 meters, 400 meters double again.
I definitely won't be doubling up again. I think whenever I speak 400, I'd love to do that as an individual event and try and improve myself as a 400 meter athlete. And then if I ever have to double, I'd rather do the 100 and 200.
Meanwhile, like Wade van Niekerk, Botswana's Isaac Makwala was planning to double at 200 meters and 400 meters at the World Championships in London. But organizers kept Makwala out of the 400 meters after he vomited before a qualifying heat and was diagnosed with a stomach virus that affected a number of other athletes. Makwala was angry about not being able to compete at 400 meters, saying he felt fine and could run. The organizers allowed Makwala to compete in the 200 meters, and he had to run two qualifying heats just a few hours apart. In the final, Isaac Makwala finished sixth out of eight runners in a time of 20.44 seconds. Makwala says the qualifying runs took a lot out of him.
It was too much. Yesterday, it was too much. You know, yesterday I ran all out, so today I came back. I think my energy was all gone yesterday. I'm disappointed.
A disappointed Isaac Makwala. The 30-year-old athlete from Botswana didn't win any medals at this month's World Championships in London, but Isaac certainly made headlines, and yes, he deserves inclusion in that Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In English Premier League football action Monday, Manchester City and visiting Everton drew 1-1. Both clubs now have 4 points from 2 matches early in this EPL season. Wayne Rooney put Everton in front 1-0 in the 35th minute when he scored his landmark 200th career Premier League goal. So let's give Rooney a Sunny Side of Sports salute for that big achievement. And Rooney seems to have a thing for Man City when it comes to big goals. Wayne also scored his 50th and 150th career Premier League goals against Man City. Raheem Sterling rescued a point for Manchester City with a goal in the 82nd minute. Final score from the Etihad Stadium in Manchester. Man City 1, Everton 1. After 2 rounds of play in the Premier League, Manchester United, Huddersfield, and West Brom are on top of the table with the maximum 6 points each. Meanwhile, West Brom is one of the Premier League clubs testing a light wearable fitness tracking device that measures more than a dozen different parameters. Players on the baggies of West Brom have been wearing the fitness trackers during training sessions. West Brom's fitness coach, Matthew Green, says the trackers are in a pocket that's part of a light back brace.
Inside that unit, there is an accelerometer, a GPS unit, a magnetometer, and a gyroscope. So altogether, we get lots of different training information about that player's movements for those training sessions.
At those training sessions, the information is sent to a laptop computer at the edge of the field. The coaches get data about heart rate, the distance each player covers, their running speed, the number of times they change direction, as well as rates of acceleration and deceleration, altogether up to 1,000 data points each second.
And that allows us to have discussions in real time with coaches in terms of how the session might be progressing. Is it as we planned? If not, do we need to maybe stay out for a little bit longer and add more training load to the players? Or do we need to maybe tailor the session and look to cut it shorter than planned on paper?
West Brom fitness coach Matthew Green says instead of relying on GPS satellites, the player's position is calculated through a system of receivers positioned around the playing field. For now, the baggies of West Brom are wearing the fitness trackers only during training, but Green says coaches are already thinking about using them during matches.
I think as the unit evolves, you'll see it become the complete norm for them to wear it in matches as well, which at the minute is some clubs would do that, but it's not Premier League-wide.
Matthew Green, fitness coach for the Premier League club West Brom. In more football news, Rwanda says it's preparing to finalize its bid to host FIFA's 2019 Under-17 World Cup. Rwanda's Football Association president, Vincent Zamwita, says, and I quote, "We've already submitted a formal request to FIFA to host the event, and they have registered us and sent bid documents." Zamwita says Rwanda has a deadline of Friday to send the terms and agreements to FIFA and later start preparing the bid. He says hosting a tournament like the Under-17 World Cup will raise the profile of not only Rwanda, but also the Southern Africa region and the continent of Africa as well. Last year, Rwanda was given high marks after hosting the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, for home-based players in Africa. India will host this year's FIFA Under-17 World Cup. The tournament kicks off October 6th and will feature 24 teams, including four from Africa: Ghana, Guinea, Mali, and Niger.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on the sunny side of life.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss why ailing African leaders often travel abroad for their medical care. Should this be an acceptable practice? We'll delve into the issue on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, Sonny, we talk a lot on the show about things that are bigger than sports and often how they work their way into the sports world. And today we have three stories that all touch on that, that all deal with caring for our fellow humans and caring about our fellow humans. And we start with somebody who is literally caring for a fellow human, Victoria Azarenka. Of course, she is a former top tennis player, two-time Australian Open champion, and new mother. We talked about on the show how she announced that she might have to skip the U.S. Open because of a custody battle that she's dealing with her new young son after she separated from his father. Well, she's announced, saying in a statement, "I am sadly unable to compete in this year's U.S. Open due to my ongoing family situation that I'm working through. While I will dearly miss being in New York and playing in one of my favorite tournaments where I've enjoyed some of my best moments in my career, I am already looking forward to being back next year." So, disappointment from fans that she's not going to be there. Disappointment not necessarily at her, though, but at this situation, saying that it shows that being a parent comes above all else, even when you're a star athlete. That takes precedent over anything. And even noting the timing of her withdrawal being good sportsmanship, she could have waited and tried to sort this out and waited till the very last minute. But instead, she's withdrawing now. And by doing so, she's giving another player a chance in the main draw. Another player gets to move up to compete. So a lot of attention on this on Victoria Azarenka, and hopes that she will indeed be back next year and hopes that she'll get this sorted out.
You can say, Andrew, that she's caring not just for her child, but also for another women's player in the draw. saw.
Absolutely. Caring in the midst of this family situation that she references, caring about her fellow competitors. So really, in the midst of this, doing something very nice.
Andrew, who else is showing that caring quality?
Well, a swimmer named Fernando Alvarez, perhaps not a household name, but someone who is racing recently at the FINA World Masters Championship in Hungary. FINA is, of course, the International Swimming Federation. Alvarez is Spanish. And of course, we talked about the terrorism attack in Barcelona recently. So Alvarez, with that on his mind, asked organizers of the event to observe a moment of silence for the victims of that Barcelona attack before his race. The organizers, however, said no. So this is what Alvarez did. He lines up with his fellow competitors. He gets up there on the starting platform there at the pool. They get set, and they all take off in the race, except for Alvarez. He just stands there. And he stands there on the starting platform and observes his own personal moment of silence, and in doing so, sacrifices his chance at winning the race. This moment, Sonny, has gone viral across social media. Hundreds of thousands of views on all different platforms, people saying that it's powerful, inspirational. One person saying that they salute Alvarez's ethics. It's a great ethical move to do this, to honor those victims there in Barcelona. And someone else saying winning doesn't always mean being first. And in this case, it isn't him being first. He's not even competing in this race. But by taking that stand there, by not jumping into the pool, he's saying volumes about that moment of silence. So a lot of people really praising this move and saying what a great symbol it was to honor those victims by just standing there and taking a moment of silence. A
lot of nice tributes coming out of Spain, haven't there been, Andrew, in the wake of those terrorist attacks?
Yeah, from sports and around the world, a lot of athletes, Spanish athletes around the world, not just in soccer, as we talked about in La Liga, but there are athletes throughout other sports in basketball. They're all reaching out and honoring their home country. So it has reverberated around the world, and social media is the way that those athletes are able to reach out and honor those victims.
Andrew, we care about our Voice of America listeners, and we encourage them to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, who else is caring for their fellow human beings?
Well, our final story today talks about the Little League World Series. And it's, we talked about yesterday that great catch that was made in the Little League World Series, perhaps the greatest catch of all time. There's another play that didn't come during the game that's getting a lot of attention, also in a viral video. Venezuela was facing off against the Dominican Republic in the Little League World Series. And I should actually mention, just take a moment, that the way the Little League World Series works is that you kind of have the U.S. side and the international side, and the two teams that come out of each of those sides will play each other in the championship game. So you have a lot of these U.S. teams we talk about, regional teams, the Northwest team, the Southeast team, and then you have a lot of different countries represented. So this is from the international side, where you had Venezuela and the Dominican Republic playing each other. And you had the Dominican Republic pitcher Edward Ucita giving up a game-winning run. It was actually after a rain delay. The players had to wait quite a while. Gives up a triple. Venezuela wins the game. And as the Venezuela team celebrates, Ucita collapses at the mound in tears. He just gave up the winning run. Very heartbreaking moment for such a young kid. Well, amid their celebration, the Venezuela coaches and team rush over to comfort him. And instead of continuing their celebration, the Venezuela players comfort their opponent with hugs, well wishes. They put their arms around him as he's crying. This was an incredible show of sportsmanship and civility that lots of people are talking about. Again, this video has gone viral across the internet. And a lot of people saying, even though these are kids and this is just a Little League game, we can learn a lot from them and from this show of sportsmanship. They could have just continued their celebration, said, well, he lost, too bad, whatever. But they went over knowing that it could have easily been them, that that's the up and down of sports. And they go over and comfort him, make sure he's okay before they head off the field. So a really nice moment there at the Little League World Series.
A nice moment indeed. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Some 20 million people in Yemen, Somalia, South Sudan, and Northeast Nigeria are on the brink of famine or already experiencing it, said the United Nations Security Council. Natural disaster is a contributing factor, but much of the problem is man-made or exacerbated by humans. In South Sudan, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar escalated into a civil war in December 2013 that continues unabated today. Nearly 6 million South Sudanese people face life-threatening hunger. In Yemen, civil war has destabilized the economy, crippled agricultural production and trade, and sent the price of food skyrocketing. 7 million people are in need of emergency food assistance, and another 10 million go hungry more often than not. In northeastern Nigeria, Boko Haram attacks have displaced millions and severely curtailed the production of food. Around 5.2 million people face severe food insecurity. Similarly, in Somalia, fighting and violence caused by al-Shabaab militants have grossly exacerbated a humanitarian catastrophe caused by drought. The situation in all four countries has been aggravated by the refusal of parties to the conflicts to allow humanitarian workers and aid delivery to those in desperate need. On August 9th, the United Nations Security Council adopted a presidential statement noting that ongoing conflict and violence had devastating humanitarian consequences, hindered an effective humanitarian response, and were therefore a major cause of famine. The Council called upon all parties in Yemen, South Sudan, Somalia, and Northeast Nigeria to take immediate steps that would enable a more effective humanitarian response. The UN also challenged the global community to help blunt this humanitarian disaster by contributing generously. Famine is an issue of peace and security, said U.S. Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley. With the adoption of this statement, the Security Council has finally acknowledged the clear link between conflict and famine. This is a man-made crisis, and people are dying of hunger because of man-made conflict. The Security Council must continue to demand access for food and other life-saving supplies and services for these vulnerable areas, and we must hold governments and armed groups blocking access accountable.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss why ailing African leaders often travel abroad for their medical care. Should this be an acceptable practice? We'll delve into the issue on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
African Music Mix.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
This is our moment. Together with footballers like Steven Pienaar, we are speaking out to end malaria.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Let's do it.
United, we can beat malaria.